Well, as you know, went to Guatemala. We left last Sunday morning, very bright and early, and we got back Sunday morning even earlier. And we did a lot of things. It's amazing just seeing God work through all the people and all the families. If you didn't know we were there, we stay at a missionary place. We went to the jungle. One thing that we did, which was very nice, we did devos. We always started our day with a devo, and we ended our day with a devotional. Things we just did, our students led devos too. Corbin led one, Zeb led one, and others. And it was just very good just to see them growing in their faith, which is a hope of that. I've seen God work and just on this trip through many people, just Paul. I've seen God work through Zeb, and I've seen God work through Corbin. And as a team, I've just noticed as a whole that we've all grown just in our faith with the worship and just all the music, Lord. And Zeb and Jamie, they both were of our worship leaders, which we're very thankful for them. But there was one question that we were always just asking throughout the whole day, which was, what are you asking God to do in you and through you? As we think about that through the next just few people that are going along here. So next, we're going to talk about the women's ministry and the babies as we welcome Zeb, Blake, and Anna Maria. Sam.
Hi guys, so me, Anna Maria, and Sam took huge part in the women's ministry that we did there. And then me and Sam specifically got to go down to the hospital, and what we did there is we just got to love on the baby orphans, which was absolutely adorable, because who doesn't love babies? So the thing I'm going to talk about a little bit is the babies in the hospital. But the first thing I want to do is like kind of what God showed me through the trip, which was I got some really cool experiences, and we all have like kind of our own revelation that happened on this trip. And for me personally, it was finally getting to feel the power of God and his prayer, which is something that I've been a Christian since like second grade, and I never really experienced that, which was really, really cool to see. And then while I was working with the babies in the hospital, a lot of them were found in the jungle, super malnourished, or they were just left there because their parents couldn't take care of them. But the sad thing was is, you know, they were like the happiest babies alive. A lot of them were sick, but they didn't have air conditioning in the hospital. So what they did was they opened the windows, and there's a lot of bugs and mosquitoes and wasps. So a lot of the kids who were like really little had thousands of bug bites and stings on all over them. And a lot of them had like fevers, and it's super, super hot in Guatemala. So the thing that God really led on my heart was like, maybe when we go back, one of the things we did was we installed like a, I used to say water filters. And the next thing that I'd like to do when we go back is work on maybe getting some air conditioning for them, because they were all like getting heat rashes, and you couldn't even hold them and hug them for that long because they were getting so overheated. And it was really sad because then you'd put them down and they would cry because all they wanted was affection. And so the thing that I'd love to see next year is that we can also work on installing maybe some air conditioning and come together as a church to maybe work on that some more. And then they're going to talk about the women's ministry.
So we all got to help out with the women's ministry. Something that really stood out to me was just how after like a day, they were just like so friendly, and they were so happy to just see missionaries, because missionaries hadn't been there in a long time. And especially like the timing of this mission trip was just so incredible how God worked, because the pastor that was there for this village like died 3 months before we got there. And it was just amazing how through the women's ministry we were able to share the gospel with the women of the village and then hopefully have God willing, have the women share that with their families. And it was just so amazing being able to bond with the women and just, like, connect. Even though there was that language barrier, we could communicate through our love, through the way we love them, that, you know, the gospel. And it's just amazing because the Bible says that we will be known by how we love people. And it was just an amazing opportunity to do that.
Anna Maria was saying, we did help out with the women's ministry, but one thing that I noticed was you know, with nothing, they were actually joyful, and you could tell in their faces. But I think that's because they had each other, they had God, they had hope. And I remember, like, whenever we helped out with their bags, and we made like a craft with all these women. They were really thankful, and I remember one older woman. I kind of helped her with her bag, and it was really nice to see her smile, because she really you could tell, like, she appreciated it, and I would totally do it again, just to see it again. And yeah, I just had an amazing experience, but I hope they did too. And now we have Zeb and Paul.
Manu.
No, that's how the Kekchi kids would say in the village, hello. Or at least that's how we learned it. We could have been saying it wrong. But when we arrived to the village, the kids were a little shy, but I think they opened up right away once we started playing games with them. We threw a soccer ball, and we played, like, all day. That was, like, the first day. And we learned some of their names, like Sean Shakui. What's that? Is that, like, what's your name? And, you know, there was a language barrier, and it was difficult to talk to the kids at times, but I felt like there were things that were beyond the language barrier that we shared, and that was, like, joy, and, like, things that, it's kind of like how God speaks to us. It's beyond language, and it's, he doesn't speak to us verbally or, like we would speak to a person, but he speaks to our heart, and it just shows to me that, like, Christ can be shared beyond, like, a language barrier. And one way we were teaching to the kids was a puppet show. I think before that we had to do, like, a trampoline thing, right? And we were just playing games on this giant trampoline and bouncing a ball and getting in the hole and stuff. And that was to get them, like, open. And then once we started the puppet show, we had, what was it, like, two translators. We had someone saying it in English. It was Corbin who was telling the story. It was Jonah and the whale. And the whale ate Jonah, but because God commanded, the whale spat Jonah right back out. God has authority over all. So, yeah, we had it translated from English to Spanish and then into Kekchi. So, and it was kind of just so cool, like, how we had the whole thing set up. So it was like VBS, and we were able to teach scripture to them, and we sang songs to them. I think that was the first thing we did with the puppets. And, you know, it was just great being there and, you know, sharing joy with these kids. And I felt like I had a lot to learn from them, more than they probably learned from me. But I really, you know, I had a spiritual moment there. And, you know, I was glad that God, you know, could protect the moment. And, like, he brought us peace in that. Even though the kids struggled with, like, thirst, and, like, they didn't have water filters at the time. And they had a pastor who died 3 months earlier. And through all the struggles, we were still able to share the joy that can only be really found through Christ. And Zeb worked at the orphanage and did some painting.
Well, yeah, I did some painting, but here. I'll just tell you the whole story. So the part that really, like, affected me, and, like, the part that, like, I felt like God was working through me most was our time in the orphanage. The kids had a really rough past. They were taken to the orphanage due to, like, things like abuse, malnutrition, or just the fact that they didn't have parents that wanted them or were alive, and it was kind of hard to see that. Sorry, can you hold this real quick? A verse that stood out to me while I was thinking about that was Romans 5:3-4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. In them, you could just see such a great, like, hope for the future, even though a lot of them were struggling, and a lot of them were having just, like, had just what we would consider miserable lives, they had such like a beautiful hope and joy to them. And like amount of like, I would say like peace in them was just astounding. It was like they had gone through all this stuff, but they had overcame it because of just what God provided to them, which was this beautiful orphanage campus that had a school and had little like apartments to it. And in those was like this mother-like figure for each one, so the kids had some semblance of family. And they were working on programs to get father-like figures in there as well because they knew they were important. And it was just really cool to see how amazingly joyful they were. And we tried to help that out a little, like we tried to like service them a little bit. Like we painted the orphanage, as Paul said, and we brought chalk and did drawings. And that's when I met this little boy. I was sitting with Rob. We're talking about songs, and he came up to us, and his name was Juan, and he came up to Rob and was like arm wrestling him, and it was really funny because he'd use his whole body and still lose. And what our translator said about him was that his dad had either left or died, and then his mom married this new man, which was his stepfather, and that he abused him in really, really bad ways. And it was just kind of heartbreaking, you know. It had this, like, it was just this, like, deeply, like, hitting thing that just made me realize the severity of the condition a lot of them are in. Like, that it's not just, they're in this nice orphanage, but that there was this deep hurt behind it. And I found a verse. It's James 1, 2 through 3. Well, two verses. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." And I just saw this, like, utter steadfastness in them. That, like, they were going to be okay no matter their circumstance. And I believe that is only God's work. Like, it's not because of the condition they were in. It's not because of what they had gone through. It's not because of, like, the charity of so many people to them, although that's nice, but that it was God's work in their lives that produced that steadfastness and that produced this just, like, joy that I saw in them. And it was so beautiful. And I just kind of saw this and thought it was cool. I sang a song called Graves into Gardens. And because the God, it says, one of the lines says, "Because the God of the mountains is the God of the valleys." And that orphanage was sitting right on top of this mountain. And so the God that was over that mountain, over all those children, was also just impacting their lives in the valleys, in the hardest times, and in their hardest struggles. And I just thought that was really, really, really cool to see. So yeah, thank you.
One thing I wanted to say, sorry, a lot of like the orphans didn't have like parents on earth or like physical parents, you know, guardians. But one pastor I talked to, and it made me realize that we can always look to God to be our like a parent, and that he'll lead us through all areas of our life. Because God's plan is that's where we're going to find what we need.
They just had this, even though many of them didn't have physical fathers, there was still a great loving father in heaven that was just cheering them on, and it was really beautiful to see. Thank you.
Hello. So one thing that I didn't realize that I took for granted before this trip is filtered water. It was a complete shock to have to go to a country and never know where you could drink from, because they just nothing was filtered. We could only drink out of these big blue jugs called tumbos, I believe that's what they called them. So one thing that we did for the people in the Kikchi village was we brought them new filters, because their old ones just probably didn't even work anymore. It didn't even filter the water how it was supposed to. So we went into their houses and we gave them the filters, and Rob let me, Zeb, and Donnie each get to have that experience to teach them how to use it, and then just get to talk them through it and like get to pray for them, which was so cool, because it's like, as many other groups before me have mentioned, their pastor Joel had passed away, and they hadn't had a church service in 3 months because the whole village was just in shock. And to see that they were still so open to prayer was such a cool thing to me, that they hadn't fallen so far away from the faith, and that even through such a tragedy of that, they still clung to their faith. That was so cool to me, because all of them were so open to us praying for their families, and Joel's family especially. Like, we prayed for them on the first day. We stopped by to see them just to pray over their family because of Joel's loss, and they asked us to come back the next day and pray over them again, because they had that faith in God's power, because they had seen it through Joel even like before he died. And that was such a cool thing, to an eye-opening thing for me to see. But whenever we were giving the filters, one thing Rob made sure to tell us to stress to them was that we weren't just giving them the filters to them so that they would have filtered water, but we were giving them to them so that we could show the love of Jesus through us. And that he wanted us to tell them that, so that every time that they got water from that filter, it reminded them of that moment where we shared that with them, and it would just remind them of the Lord and what like God has like done for them, and what God will continue to do with them, and it'll grow their faith in him. And that was just such a cool experience to get to pray over all those families. We gave out 10 filters in total, which was a large portion of the village. And it was just, that's so many lives that are affected by that. Because in Guatemala, the water is so bad that a lot of the babies, when they drink the unfiltered waters, their bellies get really swollen, and it can have major medical effects for them. And it can even like lead some to death. So just having filtered water had just a huge impact on them. And it was so cool to get to share the love of God to those people, unlike anything that I've ever done before. It was such a surreal moment getting to pray over those families and just having hope for next year that we come back and that they like see us again and just like remember all the like remember what God did for them, and that they will continue to just like be prevalent in the faith, and just that they will hopefully by the time we come back next year have church services going regularly, that they find someone to fill that pastor role. And I'll be praying for that consistently. But one thing I wanted to stress again, Donnie said this at the beginning, was the question of this trip for our group. And that was, what are you asking God to do in and through you? I just want that to resonate on everyone while Rob comes up real quick.
So I'm not going to talk a lot about this stuff because I turn into a big crybaby. You don't want to see me blubbering up here, but there's two things that really wreck me is when I see God working and doing amazing things, especially around the world. And the second thing that makes me just start bawling is when you guys recognize when God is doing amazing things, when you guys can see and be like, that's God, and you worship him for it. And so that's, to me, that's what this trip is about. And that's what Firehouse is about. This journey of discipleship that we're on together as family is about seeing our God and every day noticing how much bigger he is every day to our minds and our eyes. And he showed off a lot on this trip. You just heard some stories and you'll probably hear lots more. But here, that question that Corbin just asked you guys, we have been talking as a team over the last week about that same question. What is God wanting to do in you and through you? And so tonight, even as we talk about this, the Holy Spirit might be talking to some of y'all's hearts, saying, hey, maybe next year you come with us. You join in this thing. You heard some of the goals God's already put on our hearts. Maybe that's already touching a heartstring for you. We want to give you that opportunity tonight as you leave. This dream team will be out back with just some sheets of paper so you can put your info on there. And it's not for you to like commit to a trip. It's just for you to say, I want to know what God wants to do in and through me. And it might be Guatemala. And so you put your name and your number on there. we'll just keep you informed of what's going on so you can know what's happening. And if God calls you, you can jump on that trip with us. All right, so put your name on there if you feel like the Lord's talking to you about that before you leave tonight. But we also know that God is bigger than just America, and he's bigger than Guatemala in South America. He is working in missions all around the world. And there are a lot of places God is at work. And today is the first day of Ramadan, which is a huge Muslim holiday. And so as we recognize that today, we recognize that there are a lot of people around this world that don't know Jesus, that are lied to by Islam, and that are on their way to hell. And so tonight, I just wanted to share with you guys, the IMB put this out. It's on social media. You can check it out. But it basically just says ways Christians can pray for Muslims during Ramadan. So I want to invite you guys, let's pray tonight for Muslims around the world as they celebrate this. And here's a couple ways we can pray. First of all, Ramadan for a lot of Muslims means that they're very sensitive to spiritual things right now. They're trying to tune in to spirituality. So that makes them very open to talk about spiritual things and the truth of who God actually is, right? So we can pray that God uses that. And second, Ramadan for them is also a time where they invite God to give them dreams and visions and put messages in their heart. And so we can ask God to give them dreams and visions that are true about Jesus. We hear stories all the time of how Muslims will wake up with a dream telling them to walk down the street to this one door, and they have no idea why, and they get up and they walk down the street to the door, and a missionary opens the door and they get saved. And God just gave them a dream. So we can pray for that. But I want to invite you guys, would you just stand up for a second? Before we continue our service, let's just pause for a moment, and in your hearts, will you pray with me? And let's just ask God to work in Muslims around the world today. Father, we lift this up to you, God, because we know you're strong and you have a plan and you love us. You love Muslims and Christians and Catholics. You love everybody across this globe, Father. Jesus came to die for that very reason. You gave your only son that no one should perish but have everlasting life. And we're asking you right now that you work in the hearts of those Muslims that today would be observing their first day of Ramadan. God, that you would just pierce their hearts with truth, expose them to the gospel in ways that seem miraculous to us and so small to you. We know how easy it is for you. And so we're calling on your great power. And if you call us to go, give us those opportunities. Lord, include us in the mission. But if not, will you just do it? We want to see them saved. For the Muslims that we know in our own community or schools or sports teams or wherever we might see them in our own lives, Father, would you give us hearts that say, I love you. Jesus loves you. Cause us to open our mouths and speak truth that comes from you. And we pray, God, that you be the big, strong God that we know you are, and that people come to know your son, Jesus Christ, and be saved. Would you bless these students who are here tonight? Show them what you want to do in them and through them. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.